Let's see, did I lose my members? I guess I did lose them. They don't know that you're supposed to stay here. Let's see. But you can get them. Where's the budget expectation? Right.
Somewhere along the line.
Yes, I did. I gaveled us back into order on House Bill 5527.
I think she was
When do you want me to?
When we get the budget. To the budget.
To the budget also. On page 2, item 5 is several pages, including a statement of expectation on the Staley versus Cassava settlement agreement, and then a number of budget notes. The statement of expectation is basically to set some parameters about the outcomes that, that the legislature wants to see from the additional funding of this effort. And so we've identified, based on the agency's information, what the goals of the effort are, workload measures, if you will, in terms of numbers of persons served, the reduction in the local case manager caseloads that is expected to happen, and then the reporting requirements that we expect to have met. The last paragraph of that statement of expectation identifies that the legislature wants the agency to report on its progress to the emergency board during the interim when requesting funds from the special purpose appropriation, and not stated here but implied is whenever otherwise appropriate, perhaps during a rebalance if there's budget issues that need to be addressed, and then to present a report to the 2003 legislature. So that's the statement of expectation that would be included in the budget report with your approval. Okay. The next item B is a budget note to address issues that have been raised about the cost of the state-operated group homes. This budget note would propose basically a two-tier review. The first would have the agency work with a third-party reviewer to look at staffing levels and other operating costs in the medical group homes and report to the emergency board on the results of that review no later than January 2002. So that's a relatively short timeline. Then the second piece of this would have them work with their group home providers to look at staffing and other costs in the other group homes and also look at alternatives to adding a state-operated adult crisis home that was originally proposed to open July 2002. And then the agency would be reporting back to the emergency board on that work group's finding by April 2002.
Senator Yee.
Madam Chair, as I stated before, I'm very concerned with the state group home high staff ratio. We recently received a letter from somebody who works in the state group home, and she feels that the staffing level is way too high. At the present level, we are paying $251,844 per client, compared to community group home at $90,000. And the nursing home is paying about $102,000 per client. So the difference is $150,000 per patient per year. So I believe that we really need to look at more cost-effective manner to serve these clients. I know in Idaho, they have a nursing home who provides for the same client at $91,000. Per client, and I have their budget. So I think that we, at a time when we are so short in resources, we really need to look at what is a more cost-effective manner to take care of these clients and save at least, we're talking about $22 million a year. I would like to know from Barry Cass, who is the third-party reviewer he has in mind?
I'll call Barry up, but for the other members of the committee, certainly there is the concern about the cost, but there's also, I have a concern to make sure that we're not talking apples and oranges or that there is a different kind of service needs. And so as a result of that, I recommended that we do have a look at, if you will, their staffing, their needs, and to give us a better picture of what is required. I do not want to be I do not want us to be in a position where we make some decisions without having all of the information that we need to make some good fiscal decisions. Recognizing that you're talking differences in medical care and those kinds of needs. And so that was the basis of wanting to have this budget note to, and I met with Barry, you can come up, with Barry and Sheila yesterday, once this came to our attention of the differences in the cost models. But I do think that we need the assurance that, we are, going down the right path. Barry, can you answer the question on the third party?
Madam Chair, thank you. I'm Barry Cass, the Administrator of Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division. We did indeed meet yesterday, and we do share the view that these costs now bear scrutiny. They are high, and the questions that the committee has brought forward need to be answered. And in our discussion, we made a commitment to you to find an independent party to do that. I suggested that we haven't, to answer your question, Senator Yee, Madam Chair, in the intervening day, we have not gone out and looked for a consultant. We would want to consult further with you about that, but I'm certain that we can find somebody who has expertise in this area and would be mutually satisfactory to both the department and the committee and LFO.
And in your search for the independent party and looking at those reviews and what have you, will you also include the involvement of AFSCME in this whole process? Or how does that work?
I'd be happy to involve AFSCME in the process. We can't do anything without labor, but of course the independent reviewer would make the decision about how they would want, what information they would want, and how they'd want us to bring it forward for them.
There any other questions? Senator Yee.
Yes. I'm glad Madam Chair has asked you to keep her apprised of the progress of your small work group in coming up with independent study and make recommendations for, can this be done, some kind of pilot project can be done the second year of the biennium based on your study? Can you do some kind of pilot project in the second year of the biennium based on your findings?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I can't answer that question today because I think we need that information, but what the chair and the LFO brought forward is a budget note which would bring us back before you, I think, within 4 or 5 months, and at that time we would take direction as to how to proceed further. I do want to be very clear that when these programs were developed, and they were developed with full discussion with the Legislative Assembly, we were still operating under a consent decree in federal court. We had been through, and it's now more than 15 years of federal scrutiny, and I think the issue was to minimize risk, and the cost was a secondary factor. I think it's appropriate that Fairview closed, and in a new era, particularly revenues being what they are, to look and see if there are costs there that can be reduced. But I don't think I can make a commitment now to how that would happen or what a pilot project would look like. We could certainly respond to the emergency board in the event that there were findings there that made that possible.
Senator Yee.
Madam Chair, we are all very concerned with quality of care and cost effectiveness of the program. We have heard from people who work in state group homes saying that the staffing level is much too high. And also, I have received information that in Idaho, they are running the same kind of group homes that meet federal and state guidelines at $91,000 per client, which is way below our $250,000 per client. So that's why maybe in your small work group, you can include some of those people who work in the state group home. And also look at what other states are doing.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, we'd be happy to do that. I am familiar with the Idaho material that you're referring to, and Oregon, under the terms of the consent decree, we made a decision that congregate care would not exceed 5 beds. We do not deliver services in nursing home-like environments for the most part in the state, and so I think any responsible analysis has to include not only the setting but also the acuity of the patient, that is to say how severely impaired they are, what kinds of needs they have. So I think if we can get all that information out there, we can make responsible decisions about this. And I'd be happy to use any help that we can get with that.
Yes, and keep the committee apprised of the progress.
Senator Shields.
Barry, I'm a little bit surprised that you don't already have a comparison of acuity between the state-operated ones and the private ones. Is that what you're saying?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, no, it is not. When we brought the long-range plan forward, which I believe was the 1997 session, we spent time with Governor Kitzhaber discussing the contours, the architecture of that proposal. And he made it very clear to us that the differentiation between state-operated group homes and contracted group homes depended on that the acuity and the needs of the resident population were qualitatively different. And that is precisely what we've done. And that's for two reasons. It's responsible to do that. And it's also the case that some of the people that we are caring for in state-operated group homes present a level of risk that would be very difficult to purchase in a third-party relationship. And that's part of the reason that we brought that proposal forward to the legislature, and I think there was agreement that that's an appropriate role for the state to take on that level of risk and assure the public that those individuals will be cared for responsibly.
Senator Shields, I know that I'm going to lose the senators at 9, so if there's another way for you to get your responses from Barry.
One word answer should suffice, and that is, all of that doesn't explain this differential?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, it does explain the differential. In cost, but whether there are some economies that can be achieved, that's another question. And I think the environment has changed, and perhaps a fresh look is warranted. And I think the chair has, and I have had a productive discussion about that, and I think we'll be able to move that forward.
Thank you. President Patrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In light of the weighing hour and the need to get the senators moving as well, I'd move Section 5 of the LFO memo dated June 13th, 2001, which are the budget notes as proposed by LFO as a block. Is that what the...
I would prefer we go over that. If there aren't that many.
Well, if we can get them done in 6 minutes, I'll have Sheila summarize.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On page 3, budget note C, the next one addresses the issue of staffing in the developmental disability program support/administration. which some members had concerns about, and this basically just asked the department, working with Department of Administrative Services, to look at that and consider that as they're reorganizing, and that whatever recommendations might come out of that would come into the 2003-2005 budget recommendation. Item D is a budget note that was requested to have Department of Human Services and the Office of Developmental Disability Services convene a task force to look at issues regarding care for children who are medically fragile. When does the state pick up those services? What are private insurance companies doing? How do those work together? And so there's a report and recommendations that would be coming to the interim legislative committee by February of 2002. Mm-hmm. A budget note under E addresses the issue of residential offsets from earned income for developmentally disabled persons. The idea is that if it doesn't have a negative budget impact, for the agency to look at doing that so that persons who earn income can keep them instead of using them all towards the cost of care, which effectively reduces the attractiveness of working. And the office is to report on the study and any kind of phase-in plan to the emergency board in 2002. The budget note under F is a third-time-around budget note. This regards the pilot programs for children's intensive mental health treatment services. This continues language that has been in the past two budget biennia budget reports, and this directs the pilot programs to continue with the June 30, 2003 deadline. So basically, after 6 years, the thinking is that it's appropriate to say these are no longer pilots and we know what we know. The budget note under G has the agency look at rates paid to community mental health psychiatric day treatment providers for equity issues. There are some providers that believe they're getting paid lower rates for similar or the same services, and we wanted the agency to take a look at that and to report back to the 2003 legislature. Then the last budget note suggested here addresses the issue of information that the agency provides. It has provided performance measures as requested by this subcommittee, but there was some additional workload information that Senator Yee particularly felt would be useful to have in a one-page summary format. And so this budget note outlines the information that's to be provided and when it's to be reported for what time periods. And so our recommendation at this point is that you would adopt the statement of expectations and these budget notes to be included in their budget report.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Under discussion, I just want to say it's very important mental health report to us, the cost per client, how many clients they serve, under what programs, so we know what are the policies. This is important information because managed care needs to be adequately reimbursed in order for them to stay with the Oregon Health Plan. So these information are important, and we haven't been receiving them. So I just want to emphasize, we need that information in order to have to know how many people you serve and at what policy.
Senator Duncan moves the adoption of the statement of expectation and budget notes B, C, D, E, F, G, and H. Is there any objection? Hearing none.
Madam Chair, can I just make one comment on the budget note?
Yes.
I know we vote on them. I just like the commentary to reflect on the budget note under B in regards to the state-operated medical group homes, or the state-operated group homes, that when we're doing this review and the operating costs, that we include the provider group. The providers of the state-operated group homes, including their union representation.
I am the community providers, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
Representative Carl.
I could just make a quick comment, and that is to thank the chair and the committee for the budget note on private insurance coverage for medically fragile children. We dealt with that issue last session and thought we had resolved the issue, and it looks like it still is an issue, so I appreciate this budget note being in there. And the other one about the direct service versus administration, this has been incredibly problematic in terms of analyzing the budget and trying to figure out, you know, what dollars are actually getting to clients. I think that's a critical piece of the budget preparation for the next session.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
Sorry to keep slowing us down here. Under G, the budget note, that was one I was very interested in, and one of the things I wanted to see in that report was we have some idea of how many people are actually being seen and how many visits are actually occurring at the county level per county worker, so that we have an idea of how many patients a day those people are seeing, so we really have a grasp of what's going on there right at the ground level. That's something they couldn't give us before, and we need that county by county to see how productive those people are and how effective they are. Thank you.
I just want to state that the committee has done, I think, an admirable and very good job of honing this budget and coming up with the budget notes, particularly not only looking at the budgetary issues, but the accountability issues. And I think it's very important that this committee and those that follow us, that it is the intent that when the agencies come back next session, that they're able to tell us or tell whoever's sitting here in these chairs what their outcomes were and what the dollars that were given to them, how they were spent and what the results were. So I want to commend the committee for all the work that they have done on these budget notes and the patience of our LFO, Sheila, in helping us to get them there. So... But anyway, with that, we will talk about the add-backs, the add-back request. Senator Yee.
Well, I would like to see the committee ask for add-back of $2 million for the payment of 25 cents wage increase in the second year of the biennium. This was approved under the Fairview closure plan. And the savings was going to be used to pay for the 4 25 cents wage increase. And the fourth one has not occurred yet. The department has recommended that in their budget proposals, but governor has not approved it. But I think the turnover rate is much too high, and we need to reduce that to increase quality of care. And I would like to suggest recommend.
I need one of your senators, but we'll go ahead and put it on the recommended list.
Yes.
We'll go ahead and recommend today, and then we'll ratify it.
They will approve.
I'm not going to speak for this. but we'll ratify it at our next meeting. Just what we'll do. We'll go ahead and add those. Okay. We had a lot of discussion about the infection control issue, and is there a desire to add that to our list? Am I the only one concerned about the infection control?
Your senators were.
My senators were concerned that we make sure that. Well, we had it, so I'd like to add it. I'm sure that the senators would.
Do we know how much?
I think it was $268,000, wasn't it? What was it dollars?
The whole infection control package is about $2.4
million.
Yeah. It was a big chunk of money.
Yeah,
and I suppose I should weigh in here a little bit, Madam Chair. I would recommend.
How many pounds?
About 175 right now. It's dropping rapidly. this was a tough one for me to make a decision on as a physician. I'm not certain that big a package is necessary to do the program they want to do. I would recommend we put it back in as an add-on, or add back, I should say, but it would be up to the co-chairs, I think, to look at that carefully and make a final decision. I would respect their decision on it.
Okay. Any other items? Hearing none, that's our list. Again, I want to thank you for all your hard work on this. This was a tough budget. I share Senator Yee's concern. We've talked about this issue of the difference, the pay, and we had asked for a plan during E-Board last year of how we were going to deal with this whole issue of turnover. And I'm sure that the agency will still continue to look and work on that issue. It is a big issue, and it's an issue that we ultimately will need to address in the state. So I do say that with respect for you.
Yes. Madam Chair, if the $2 million is not as back, I would like to suggest we come back with a plan how to reduce turnover rate by January. When you come in with a plan regarding the alternative proposal for state reform.
I see, Barry. Barry, is that a feasible timeline?
I hope they don't have to come in a plan. I'd rather see if we have $2 million to pay for the wage increase.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, we can discuss the strategies for reducing turnover in the absence of funding or in the presence of funding. We can do that in January again.
Thank you. Madam Chair. Representative Carlson.
The county mental health package that has been getting some press lately with flyers and so forth, would that be a separate bill, or would that be included in the discussion on this budget?
Madam Chair, Representative Carlson, I believe it's House Bill 3951, if you're talking about the $15 million for health and then $15 million for mental health flexible funds.
And I think there's some discussion, too, about how mental health funds are distributed county by county and whether that's equitable, and I think that needs to be part of a discussion at some point as well. Just want to throw that on the record.
I think that that's a historical process,
right?
That
may need to be unraveled as we look at whether we need to increase that.
Any other business?
I want to express appreciation for Chair's leadership. Chair's been hardworking and caring, very caring, Chairman, and we appreciate her leadership and her her friendship with the chronologically advantage group.
That's where the wisdom is. I'm going to close work session on 5527 and open public hearing work session on Senate Bill 512.
Oh, we're not done.
Nope, you're done. You know, they will go to a public hearing work session. But if you can get one of the members with this, we can possibly get one of them down. They're having a caucus.
We went over the budget briefly last night.
Yeah, I read in the paper we were going to get that too.
Yeah, but we're supposed to come to all of them. You read in the paper. I heard about it vaguely.
I think they both went to caucus with one of them to run down for a vote on this one.
They ran me through it real fast for that. And then now we're in a position that the Chamber of Commerce in Ashland knows more about
budget
than I do.
I appreciate your taking time.
No, I saw it. Oh, you saw it last night. Then you're ahead of me. I only happen to want to.
Well, I read the paper and I think, oh, that's what we're doing today.
Nice to know.
Yes.
Apparently,
but I think we're going to have a
and
your work on the measurements and stuff is going to really help us a lot.
Yeah, I wish we could schedule some money and use the savings.
So I'll talk to the coaches.
Yeah, coaches. Maybe get them to do a pilot project.
Ready?
Good morning.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jim Carlson, representing the Oregon Healthcare Association. Senate Bill 512 is a piece of legislation authorizing the state to go forward with a nursing home quality improvement demonstration project. Our organization has been working very closely with program managers at the Senior and Disabled Services Division for about the last 2 years on the development of this proposal. Nursing facility survey and enforcement is largely governed by federal law and federal standards, and there is not a lot of state flexibility historically in this program. What this proposal would do would be to ask the state to seek federal permission to implement a demonstration project that contains six elements. foremost among these would be allowing the state to alter survey intervals to focus more resources on facilities that have been experiencing some difficulties with quality, and to extend the survey intervals between time of surveys for facilities who have had very good performance record. The division would retain all authority at all times to survey any nursing facility at any time based upon a complaint survey or any other issue that would arise. The other thing that this demonstration project would do is it would really inject quality improvement and consultative activities into the survey process. Right now there's one annual survey. It's kind of a snapshot in time survey. This would implement a pre-survey quality improvement conference, a post-survey quality improvement conference. It's got a senior consumer advisory committee that would oversee this demonstration project, and it includes provisions for evaluation of the project at the end of the demonstration project. The new Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tommy Thompson, in testimony before two congressional committees, has indicated support for altering survey cycles on nursing facility quality improvement, as well as the new head of HCFA, Thomas Scully, has also gone on the record in testimony before congressional committees in support of this type of concept. So it is our hope that we can pass this legislation and be literally at the front of the line here to try to implement a project that we think would have dramatic impact on improving services to nursing facility residents in Oregon. The legislation is self-funded. We are stepping forward and volunteering for a fee increase to fund the cost of the demonstration project. The fee increase would be contingent upon federal approval to go forward with implementation of the project. And there is one technical amendment to the legislation that should be in front of the committee, has the dash A7s, and this is a technical amendment to deal with a provision that came to our attention after the bill left the Senate committee at the request of Dan Barker, the manager of the Nursing Facility Survey Program at Senior and Disabled Services Division. And it basically gives them the authority to conduct an additional survey when there's a change of ownership or management of a nursing home, change of an administrator or director of nursing services, or there have been multiple substantiated complaint investigations against the facility. With that, I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Any questions? Roger, I don't know if you're planning to testify on this.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Roger Auerbach, Administrator of Senior and Disabled Services Division. As Mr. Carlson stated, we have been working on this issue for quite a period of time collaboratively with the nursing facility industry. We have actually had discussions with national officials also about the ability to change the survey process. The issues that Mr. Carlson alluded to, both in terms of alternating the times for surveys, and again, Secretary Thompson and the new administrator of HCFA, Tom Scully, has in fact talked about that potentially we should use our resources better and focus our resources on performers who are not doing very well, and to let facilities that have proven good performance not be surveyed, in fact, every year. So that clearly is something that we have been in discussion with them about, and have been told bluntly that federal law does not allow an alternate survey, does not allow a waiver in that process. Now, there are a lot of things changing with the new administration. And in fact, we would be very interested in exploring options for an alternative survey. That being said, the money in associated with Senate Bill 512 has not been accounted for in the governor's budget. We in fact have a House Bill 2468, which was a licensing fee bill to be used for purposes elaborated in the senior and disabled services budget. So this is actually very similar funding mechanism as we were looking for to actually fund programs, existing programs within the senior and disabled services division. So for that reason, Madam Chair,
where is 2468?
It is in the House.
So it's just there.
Yes, Madam Chair. It had a hearing, but not any. No one testified.
This is an excellent vehicle.
What I'm saying, Madam Chair, is that the governor has in fact a bill that has to do with licensing 2468. This obviously uses a similar funding stream, but I could see that the nursing facility industry would much rather it be targeted towards a quality improvement program. And just to make sure that the Madam Chair and the committee members know that we are absolutely in favor of improving quality in nursing facility industries. We have done a lot of work with them collaboratively to improve quality, and we would obviously welcome the opportunity to do more.
Yeah, I find it's interesting. I just commented to Mr. Britton that last session, the similar quality improvement method was a bill that was passed with some of the OSHA inspections that you mm-hmm. would deal with those businesses, if you will, who were having problems first, the most severe. And those that aren't having problems, you know, why? So
which is the head of the curve again, Madam
yeah.
Chair.
Yeah. Right. So,
Madam Chair, I'd like to add that OSHA model has been very successful in Oregon, and it's actually something we've looked at as we were developing this project, as saying that it's got the right approach, which is let's improve a situation instead of just come in and regulate a situation.
Well, that's it's also very positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it changes the whole dynamic, we believe, of the survey process, where it focuses on improving outcomes for residents.
Would you check and see if somehow we can get one of the senior members here so that we can work session with them? We'll be at ease for their caucus. We can do
our stuff done.
Can we do that? Okay. We're going to bring, we have our chronologically advantaged members are in caucus. And so what we will do is to bring this back for work session tomorrow. And then all we have to do, we'll have them here. And then we'll get this one done and completed and get it to full weight and names of that. Okay. I think I need to advise members that we're going to see a lot of this from now till end of session to where, so if you can be here, please do so. If you're not going to be here, let me know where you're going to be, so in case we need to send someone after you so that we can get our budget completed. And I don't think it was planned that there was going to be a caucus meeting this morning on the Senate side, but anyway. With that, if there's no other issues burning, we are adjourned.